Chapter 6. Extraordinary, Ordinary, and Elementary. Let's leave it there for now, Henry, Dr. Conway suggested. Okay, is that it, or do you want me back after lunch? I'll have to let Staff Morris, my troop staff sergeant, know if you do. We've got quite a lot going on, so we're all needed for work. And do I tell him what this is all about? No, not a word, Dr. Conway said, sounding very insistent and looking alarmed. Then more calmly he said, knowing squaddies, you'd never live it down. You'd be the butt of everybody's jokes for the rest of your life, certainly for the rest of your time in the army. Just think of all the nicknames for a start. Yeah, I suppose you're right. Well, Dinger's okay. If you're a bell, you're Dinger and that's it. My mate, Alex Wilson, he was the first one up to give his DNA sample, by the way. He's Tug, because if you're a Wilson, you're called Tug. There's loads more of them like that. Some are traditional, like Chalky or Snowy White or Smudge Smith. Some are modern takes, and some are in-jokes among the lads. Sid Crichton, another mate of mine in the troop, he's called Simon, but we call him Sid. Sid's got this strong Geordie accent, and when he first turned up, before my time here, Staff Morris reckoned he sounded like this Geordie character from some comic mag thing everybody in the army used to read. So he started calling him Sid, and Sid's just stuck to him. I reckon he's forgotten his real name, Simon. I know they've got other nicknames for me, and I don't mind them, but I could really do without being Captain Caveman or the Throwback Kid, to be honest, Henry said. He had noticed that neither of the two doctors registered anything when he mentioned Tug, and that he had given a cell sample. There was obviously nothing out of the ordinary about his genome. Thank you, Henry, for that interesting little window on everyday military life. Henry assumed from the tone he had just used that Dr. Conway had meant to sound more sarcastic than appreciative. You're right, of course, but I can think of far worse names for you than those, and if I can, so can lots of other people. But more to the point, I'm not sure you're quite ready for the public scrutiny and attention that had come your way. Since you seem not to have any obvious mental health issues, I'm guessing you're not obsessed by social media. Henry shook his head dismissively. Good. I can tell you that if you were, all the trolls out there would have a field day at your expense, and you'd know about it. Fame isn't necessarily always what it's cracked up to be, you know. When Oscar Wilde said that the one thing worse than being talked about was not being talked about, he was being wise and witty, but not very prescient. Truth is, we haven't shared the fact that your genome is what it is with anybody. And until we decide what to do, we can't allow any leaks. We need to maintain information security nice and tight, so not a word of this to your mates, please. Nothing to any of them, ever. In fact, before you go, I'm going to get you to sign something. There's no choice, sorry. The MOD has classified the details of your genome as top secret, UK eyes only, until they can work out a policy on information management. Not only is it not advisable that you say anything, but now you know what we've told you, you aren't allowed to say anything to anybody, except us, of course. A very dim view will be taken if you do, extremely and prejudicially dim, believe me. Although all this had been said in an almost avuncular tone, Henry could not help but think that as he spoke, Dr. Conway's expression had seemed suddenly and briefly to take on a cold, sharp, flinty edge, which warmed and blunted again once he had issued his advice. Advice it may have been, but it also sounded like a subtle warning, followed by a less subtle threat. Where do I sign? He asked. Dr. Conway took a document from his briefcase, again ensuring that he kept the other contents hidden from view. He put it down on the desk and pointed to the signature block. Henry signed it with a flourish. He did not try to look inside the case, but he did notice the care taken to ensure that it had not been possible. Thank you, Henry. This is for your own protection, after all. Right, disappear off now and come back here for 2 o'clock, if you would. Say that it's all about glaucoma screening. That'll do. Tell anybody who needs to know, and anybody who asks, that your dad had glaucoma, and as it's passed from father to son, you're advised to have regular routine screening to confirm its absence or detect its onset. This morning was a consultation, and this afternoon you're having some tests. Hopefully, you can make it sound plausible enough. Whatever you say, be convincing and consistent, please. I'll be off then, said Henry. He stood up and let himself out of the consulting room. Theo looked at Ben and widened his eyes, raising his eyebrows. What do you think? He asked. There was no need for any more than that. Well, at first a bit surprised, then a bit concerned, maybe. But he's taken it like we just told him the time from his own watch while he was looking at it with us. I'm not convinced we need to take him in yet, not on this showing. I'd go as far as to say he's probably more sensible and mature than both of us put together. I'd like to work with him. I reckon he'd be easier to work with than you, and more impressive, Ben replied, half joking and half serious. I was having just about the same thought myself, actually, soon to be ex-partner, said Theo. Now that Henry had left them, he seemed to have gained a coarse edge, and his accent was noticeably stronger than it had been. But I'll tell you what, mate, he continued. I was at the limit of my recall and understanding of all that stuff about genetics and the human evolutionary timeline by the time we let him go. Good job we had the diagrams, words fail, see picture and all that. I'm wondering now if there wasn't too much detail, you know, us overdoing the expert bit to sound convincing, but actually sounding like a pair of well-read parrots. Yeah, same here, Polly. Anyway, it's done now, so let's move on. I think I'd like another read of his case file before he comes back. Now I've had eyes on him, I want to see if there's anything it doesn't cover or that I've missed. I was thinking precisely the same. Great minds. Ben pulled a file from their security briefcase and put it onto the desk. It was in a pink file cover marked Top Secret, Strap 3, UK Eyes Only, top and bottom. It was titled DNA Project, Paleoanthropology Analysis, Subject Bell Henry. This was written in neat manuscript in fresh black ink that stood out starkly from the pink background. The file cover was tied closed with a thin white silk ribbon. Ben untied the binding and began reading intently and in silence, while Theo started reading something on the laptop. After a while, they both looked up and at each other. Ben spoke first. Get this, Theo. 13 GCSEs covering sciences and maths, art and humanities, modern and classical languages, sat them all a year early, and he's still got 13 top grades. Poetic. One for each percentage point of his Neanderthal DNA, Theo said. Straight top grades again in A-level maths, further maths, physics, chemistry, history and English, and tipped to be an Oxbridge scholar or exhibitioner, Victor Ludorum, and could have been at least county standard in just about every sport he cared to have a go at, a potential Olympian maybe. But he just kept his head down, played the modest grey man where he could, tried not to get noticed too much, but you could hardly miss him, could you? Well, it's a good job he wasn't at your school. I mean, forgive me for assuming you actually did go to school. Yeah, they might have gone once or twice, said Theo. And you're right. To me and my mates, just admitting you could read and write was a criminal offence. But what I don't get is what he's doing hiding away down here, out of the way in rural Devon, however heavenly it might be. Not even a Lance Corporal yet. I mean, instead, he could be the President of the Oxford Union and the Prime Minister in waiting. But he isn't. Why isn't he? His tone and observations were intended to express his surprise at the situation rather than dismissiveness. Yeah, well, hiding away down here is about right. His background isn't exactly what you'd call settled or normal, is it? Moving around all the time, boarding at international schools in Switzerland and Belgium, then boarding school here from as soon as his parents could offload him. Oh, don't forget the pressure of expectation from schools. An outstanding prospect in their opinion, but maybe not in his own mind. Maybe what he wanted was a surrogate family, somewhere he felt he could identify with, belong, you know? And maybe no pressure and no responsibilities, for a little while at least. Hey, don't overplay the stress psychologist with me, mate. It doesn't suit you. I'm breathing in through my nose, and I'm getting fish. It wasn't caught just now. It hadn't been gutted, and it's been out in the sun for a while, said Theo. Well, there's definitely something fishy going on, but I don't think that Henry himself has got anything to hide. Well, other than this now. He seems pretty straight to me, to be honest. I can't see any side to him. Forget your nose. My gut's telling me his life has always been managed by somebody or somebody's with something to hide. Aye, well, that's something being him, Theo said. Anyway, read on, Macduff, he added, returning to his attention to whatever he'd been reading on the laptop. Ben continued his close rereading of Henry's case file in studied silence. He skipped over the description of his genome written in the dry, incomprehensible language used by the paleogeneticists and the paleoanthropologists. For both him and Theo, it was all far removed from their real areas of expertise. There was no point in pretending between themselves they were something that they were not. The summaries and conclusions should, if they included everything of significance, and they were properly written, set out the relevant and appropriate details. The folios most worth reading in full were Henry's reports and appraisals from the army, and anything that described his background. Everything written about Henry had the same themes and threads running through. He had always been considered officer material, although he had resisted every effort to get him to the Army Officer Selection Board. All his reports that made it clear he was outstandingly fit, he was resilient in every respect, and he possessed immense strength. They highlighted his exceptional intelligence and his insight, foresight and common sense. He was described as mature, wise and erudite beyond his years. His was the best ever performance by a trainee on the All Arms Commando course. Although unusual for a recruit in training, he'd been earmarked as having abundant potential as a future Special Forces selection candidate. They might as well just as simply have said, golden balls. No surprises, in addition to Dinger, another of Henry's nicknames was Golden Bells. Description of Henry's early life and his family were surprisingly thin on detail. Both parents were academics of some sort, British apparently, but permanently based on the continent, and with a tendency to move around frequently. No wonder he had gone to boarding schools from the age of 5. It would have given him the stability and continuity that young children need, but which his parents' careers would have denied him had they dragged him round with them. It was all very interesting to read, but somehow a bit sad, and there was nothing anywhere that said, or even hinted to the reader, and this is why he is 13% Neanderthal. Ben's reading just confirmed what he had seen for himself. Henry Bell was highly intelligent, exceptionally mature, and a physical exemplar in excellent health. He was a first-rate soldier and a talented sportsman. More than that, he was a nice, pleasant, friendly, funny, quietly confident, modest, and above all, apparently normal, young man. Oh. Nothing here says that he had an early penchant for hunting the local wildlife with spears, wearing clothes made from animal skins and preferring his steak tartare rather than well done. No charming anecdotes about a little boy and his pet saber-toothed Siamese, said Ben, pushing away the file in exasperation. Has anybody managed to locate the parents? Surely they're the key to his makeup. No. Funny that. If nobody's looking for them, that's a mission-critical oversight. Well, best we raise him within this afternoon. Meanwhile, my dear Watson, something hitherto unnoticed has just come to my attention, said Ben, affecting a contrived Sherlock Holmes accent. Pray, Holmes, do tell. I must know immediately, Theo replied in a similar, more characteristically blustery Dr. Watson manner. Ben looked up from his file with a strange look on his face. He reverted to his normal tone and now wore a very serious expression. I've just scanned the genetic analysis part again. The technical part, it's not the summaries. I must have skimmed over it all a bit too lightly before. For some reason, this little gem doesn't make any of the summaries and conclusions. I've got no idea why not, because if anything's mission critical, this is. It says here that Henry Bell was no more than 18 years old. Theo responded instinctively. What the... Can't be. How could he have got into the army when he did? Well, unless all his paperwork says that he's 20 or however old he thinks he is or claims to be. Well, that's just it, isn't it, Theo? It does. There's two lots of paperwork about our Henry Bell. One says he's 20 or so. The other says he's no more than 18. One lot was made for him at some time by somebody. The other lot was made for him just now, using evidence from his own DNA, by us. Well, DNA evidence always trumps bone shapes and forged paperwork. So it's somebody else lying then, or it's him lying. But how? Why? Elementary, my dear Watson, Ben replied, reverting to Sherlock Holmes. The somebody, or somebodies in question, know about Henry Bell, and have more than likely known about his, let us call it his, uniqueness since he was born. And they have, or had, the means by which to create a credible, convincing, officially accepted, but not altogether true identity for him. Very likely to protect and preserve, and possibly to hide him. The question you should be asking yourself, because it is the question I am now asking myself, Watson, is not merely how and why, but also who. What say you, Watson? Oh, shit, Sherlock, came Theo's flat reply.